The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, June the 23rd. When you're listening to this, we're recording on Monday. And we are going to continue our All 32 series. Reminder, if you've got a question about a team that we haven't covered yet, download, subscribe, and leave a five-star review. We will answer any questions that are five-star questions, including which alcoholic drink are all the NFL super friends, myself, Ryan Wilson, John Breach, Chell Wagner-Ruff, which was answered on Monday, despite me not being on the show. Very frustrating that they would do that without me. I'm assuming I was an IPA or some snooty IPA or something like that, or a tall glass of bourbon. Debo can tell me in a minute. Joining us now to talk about the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, despite being in Charlotte still. Good friend of the program, Jordan Roderick. Jordan, what's going on?
Not much, man. You know, getting ready to move in a pandemic. So cool. I hear you're back from vacation and I am pretty jealous. And you definitely have the vacation. Look, I very smartly have my video off so you can't see just how stressed I am. But I definitely am catching vacation vibes from your screen and I'm pretty jealous.
Yeah, I got a little sun going on. Haven't shaved in several months. I've worn the same like three t-shirts over the last week. It's been nice. But we're back to business now. Have you like dove in on the Rams? Like, or do you feel, cause you have tons of free time, right? I mean,
well, not real. I mean, cause I'm moving. So like the free time, not so much, but, and I've been working on, I know you guys have seen that I worked on a couple of those big, NFL level NFL stories more broadly with the player video.
Oh, you did. Yeah. We did a great job. Yeah. You and friend of the program, Lindsay Jones did.
Yeah. She's awesome.
She's the best. Yeah.
And so we've been working on those, for the last couple of weeks, but you know, I had mentioned off the recording a little bit earlier, like this job was in the works for me for a while. And so I started to beef up a little bit. My beat partner also, he's my editor now, but, Rich Hammond, he also sent me like a introductory guide to the beat, which was so awesome of him to do. And so I've been studying them for a while. And then obviously they're the Rams. So they've been very interesting for a while. You know, since Jeff Fisher left pretty much. And so, Sean McVay also is the type who you learn and you glean something every time he speaks.
He seems like he's interested in letting people learn.
Yeah, and one of the things I like about him is he actually is frustrated when there's like questions aren't specific. Like and I wouldn't say frustrated because that sounds negative, but I think he really relishes getting into details and really discussing details. And he's one of those guys where I think there's a fair amount of paranoia like there is with every NFL coach in the league, but with him it's like I was just on a call. This is another thing that was cool about the access difference. Like they've been great about my access. And so I was just on a call with, he was speaking, he was doing a chalk talk with like 100 football coaches in Southern California.
Wow.
And they let me be on it.
That's awesome.
And like these chalk talks, this is when you get into X's and O's of what your team is doing. And normally NFL coaches are like, oh my gosh, no, do not reveal anything because someone will be in this Zoom chat and Bill Belichick's in the ceiling somewhere and like, don't do it. And so, but Sean was really cool, and he was really getting into some details. And obviously one of the ones that I found really helpful was, the importance of play action and their offense, and when you have it and your offense is working versus when Todd Gurley is hurt, you don't have it and it's not working, and things like that. And so I really have appreciated his detail oriented approach, because for me, part of the appeal of going to a beat like this is you are moving to a space where every single day you are not just covering, but you're also learning from, as a reporter and as a football geek, you're learning from somebody who is setting trends on a yearly basis within the league.
You mentioned Todd Gurley, and I was reading, I can't remember what it was the other day, but Todd Gurley was hurt, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the company line on it. And whether it was hurt, needed extra time to rest, couldn't really get into a rhythm because maybe some pain was coming up, maybe some mobility issues were coming up. Their injuries can be, especially in the knee, can be so ambiguous in terms of one day you're feeling okay and the next day you might not be feeling okay. Or someone hits it wrong and you have this like searing pain and you can't use it as effectively as you could before. And so I see, I know he passed his physical in Atlanta and that's great. And I know that he has been, I've seen him, playing basketball with Cam and also, lifting the weights with the knee and all of that. And I think that's fantastic because I think all of us just want to see people be successful in this league. But really it wasn't working. There was no rhythm because the ambiguous nature of the knee last year, it just wasn't, there was no rhythm. They couldn't get into a rhythm and defenses were no longer holding them accountable, or they were no longer being held accountable by the run. And so then that meant they weren't being fooled by the play action. That meant they weren't able to develop the longer plays, the longer passing plays. That meant they also were taking away layers of their own offense on any given play. That meant that they just were discombobulated in a lot of ways. And I think, part of that is when you're discombobulated, and this is, I know we're talking about Gurley, but when you're discombobulated in a lot of ways, you need to have a quarterback who has autonomy and has ownership of the offense. And so I think that's a lot of why Sean brought in Kevin O'Connell, was because Kevin O'Connell is going to work directly with Jared Goff to allow him to be able to have more autonomy in what happens if something completely breaks down, or more control over and more ownership over, I am confident in running this and I see this with my own eyes and I'm not just sort of like getting dialogue in the headset. Yeah.
Right. So in other words, like if the Rams weren't set up through what Sean McVay was seeing and saying to Jared Goff, it's like Tecmo Super Bowl, you would call a play, and if the defense called the right play, you're just kind of screwed.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like Jared Goff wasn't going to get there and have a bunch of like different checks. And maybe he would occasionally auto. Is that kind of on the lines of what you're saying?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. And I think that, I was reading too, and like part of me too, cause I'm obviously catching up, on years of not actually seeing these guys every day, but sure. I was reading about, something that Bill Belichick did that really was creative against them in the Super Bowl was their defense would wait until the headset was cut off, and then the defense would change and then force Jared to rearrange. And so that's obviously very smart. That's something that you don't, if you're a head coach, you don't want to have all the information presented and then like push your quarterback off a cliff at that point. Like you want the quarterback to also be having ownership of what he's seeing and not just sort of whether he's instructed to just follow what McVay was saying or whether he, was kind of questioning his own eyes, whatever was happening. He's growing. He's still processing. He's developing. He's really in this sort of adulthood quarterback phase now where he has to, I think mature and take, ownership of this offense and autonomy within it in a lot of ways. And I think that's part of it. Like you, when the headset cuts off, what are you seeing? And you need to trust yourself. And I think Kevin O'Connell was brought in specifically to help with those types of things, which will be a really interesting dynamic because again, it goes back to Sean McVay. Like he's seeing where he needs to change early. And I think that's a really interesting way of coaching. And you would think that that's how all coaching would be, but it is not. And so it's been interesting to see that.
Yeah. I mean, look at Mike Zimmer's offense last year.
I'd rather not.
It'll be fast. but it was a similar system, you know, because Kevin Stefanski is running.
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak, you know, brought in, which is what the Shanda clan ran, you know, in Washington, what Mike, you know, I mean, Kyle was Gary Kubiak's offensive coordinator in Houston. So like, it's all the same offense and it, but I think like, you can't just, so I guess just to wrap up on the offense, actually I have two questions on the offense. Sorry. We're going a long way than we probably planned, but, like, in watching these games, do you pin the blame on the offense on Goff? Do you think it's on Gurley in the rhythm? Is it maybe on the offensive line? Because it felt like the offensive line took a massive step back last year from 2018.
Yeah, they did. They took a step back. And what I hear is like, they want to give these guys time to progress with each other and learn each other's sort of body tells and how to wordlessly communicate and develop a little bit more. For me, I don't think you can pin that blame on any one person or any one position group, because I think that when you have specifically those three position groups not perform consistently, or there to be sort of a flaw in the Death Star in some way, like right. you can't assign blame to one of those guys. Those are all such key cogs that have to work in unison and have to complement each other at all times. You know, the run setting up the pass, the run setting up the play action that sets up a lot of what they do in their offense. And then the offensive line, of course, having to be stalwart. And none of those things ever were quite in unison. You saw it sometimes working, but consistently through the season, that was what bit them, was the inconsistency of some of those pieces at different times, at varying times, not working the way that they should.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we will talk about the defense for the Rams.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What do we think about this Rams defense? What is it going to look like? You mentioned that you think Staley's going to do a bunch of different things. Does that mean like putting Jalen Ramsey like inside on the nickel, or like what are we talking about here?
I love that you teed me up for that, because you know that I love talking about position flexibility, especially in defensive backs. And I just appreciate that about you, Will, honestly. I think I'm really excited to see that. I first of all, I want to be clear, like, they really will need help on the inside. They don't have a starting inside linebacker right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to be pretty multiple, so they don't necessarily need to – they can continue this competition on the inside a little bit as they continue through the year, because it's a lot of young sort of field unproven guys on the inside. So, you know, what are you going to do when, you know, George Kittle comes to town and is just seeing this open middle of the field and is like, oh, you know, I've never heard of that guy who's going to be guarding me. Well, you put Jalen Ramsey on him and you play in the nickel. And I think that this is going to be really, really exciting, because Jalen, we know he did this all throughout his career at Florida State. We know that he has the ability to be versatile. They also are like pretty cornerback happy in terms of starting caliber corners. They have enough so that if you put Jalen Ramsey on the inside to combat some of these middle field threats and some of these larger, you know, receivers and tight ends who are kind of back in vogue and putting them in the middle of the field. You also can put a starting caliber corner on the outside so that you're not sort of limping there in that option. And so they're kind of at a wealth right now in terms of what they can do in the defensive backfield and sort of the versatility they can do. But I do think it's also, because in part they're at a little bit of a dearth, you know, at inside linebacker, minus Corey Littleton. And, you know, spoiler alert, they're going to still be very good up front as well. So
Aaron Donald.
Yeah. Like, I can't wait to cover that guy. I mean, he was on Zoom with us for a little bit, and it was so funny because he you know, he hadn't had an availability yet since the spring began. And so he put a picture of himself flexing behind as his Zoom background, because he was like, I wanted you guys to all make sure that you knew I was still working. And we were like, you know, Aaron, like literally nobody doubted that you were still working.
Yeah. pretty sure we knew you were still, you know, getting your workouts in. Two or three time defensive player of the year? We have it three at this point.
I think we are at three. We gotta be.
I'm on quarantine and vacation brain. Like, I don't give a crap if like what I get right or wrong at this point, which is, I mean, I do care. I'm just kidding. But, it's at three, cause he's 6 years into his career, which is kind of crazy.
I mean, it's wild. And so Aaron still becomes a key, making sure that they are, freeing him up a little bit better than they were last year. It was something like 67% of his pass rush attempts were against double teams.
Two time.
Well, this year it'll be three. I mean, really, it doesn't. I mean, he's going to have 10 by the time he retires. Like, it's fine.
It's two time defensive player and then defensive rookie. That's what screwed me up. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My bad.
I accept your apology.
What is a good season for the Rams, Jordan?
I think a good season for anybody is like existing, honestly, with health and safety, I think being the key terms here, like a healthy, safe season for everybody. And the fact that it would exist, you know, I don't really necessarily think they take a step back. I think the problem is last year they took a step back and everyone else in the division took a step forward. And so to me, they're kind of making up a little bit of lost ground this year. And I don't think you can rush that. With a new defensive coordinator and no feasible plan at inside linebacker. And I hope one of these guys develops and they think that they can do that. And Brandon Staley has a lot of, you know, history coaching linebackers. So I think that they think that a guy will like shine through and start to sort of come of age. But, you know, I don't know. I think 9-7 is like really optimistic. But again, like you're talking about this space. This division just cannibalizes itself consistently. I think 9-7 is optimistic. I've heard 7-9. I think if they're around that, like sort of middle ground, you can say, hey, we were adjusting to our new personnel, our new defense, we're in a pandemic. We couldn't practice together. And I think that's fine. I think all of that's fine. But you can't continue to lose ground on the rest of your division. And I think that's where the big concern is right now.
Yeah. And I mean, like Arizona got so much better.
Yeah.
San Francisco looks like they'll be awesome again. Seattle is Seattle. The Rams could finish last in the division. It wouldn't be surprising at all.
Yeah. And they could finish last with like a medium record, which would be like a steal for the team that I just came from, honestly. But not to be mean, but kind of. Yeah. But,
the
rough Panthers, couple years.
The Panthers won multiple division titles with, it's like 500 or worse records, right? While you were there?
Yeah. Not while I was there, but they went to the playoffs once, and then I covered a 6-10, and I covered the slide in 2018 and the slide in 2019.
They went to the playoffs at 7-8-1 in 2014.
Yeah. I wasn't there.
Oh, okay, you weren't there then.
Yeah.
Were you there for the title to, or the
Super Bowl? I came right after the Super Bowl. I got there in 2016.
Oh, well, maybe the Panthers will finally turn it around.
Yeah. And I accept all credit, honestly. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
I told you, like Ben Volen, like everywhere Ben Volen goes, like really weird stuff happens. Like,
yeah, I see that.
In Incognito, the Patriots and all their gates and Aaron Hernandez. He was there for Tim Tebow at Florida. So yeah, maybe the Rams will go 6-10 this year.
Yeah, and you know, maybe the Panthers will be win two games.
Maybe the Panthers will go 15-1 again.
I'd be kind of like, I'd be happy for them. I'd be kind of mad personally that I didn't that I wasn't covering it.
It's not gonna happen. I think the Rams are sort of a sneaky team in this division because I do think that people are gonna pick them to finish last.
Yeah.
And like if these coaching changes work and Goff could take a little bit of a step back to where he was in 2018 and the offensive, and like people were sleeping on Daryl Henderson. I think he's a really good player. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are awesome receivers. They have Everett and Higbee who can catch the ball. And if the defense, you know, can be above average. Like, they can certainly be a playoff team, but yeah, yeah, I mean, there's a five win floor there.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think in terms of, you know, people kind of overlooking a lot of their personnel and a lot of, and ruling them out in a lot of ways, like they, even on paper, they aren't as good as they actually are. And I say that, I know that's really weird to say, but you have guys who are coming in like Cam Akers. They're going to run a 1-2 punch with Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson. And I feel like it's going to look very Ingram Kamara 2017. And I think that's extremely exciting because if you pass as much as the Saints did and you still have that 1-2 punch and you can do that with Goff, Akers, guys that you, and, you know, two running backs that you don't have to pay quickly. And you also have this defense that is badass, and it will only get better, you know, as Brandon Staley gets his feet under him, like, and a very underrated receivers group. I mean, they are, that's a great receivers group and they are extremely underrated, I think, across the league. And really your big issue is your offensive line and you kind of wonder, you know, what that's going to look like. But I mean, they're even better. You put all these names down on paper. You're like, oh, that's a pretty good roster. But I think they're actually better than they look.
I agree with you. I think they might be better than they look, and yet I'm still not that enthused about their season.
I mean, are we excited by anything?
Like, no. Are you excited about moving? Probably not.
No, I mean, I am excited to get to LA because I love, you know, I love the West Coast, but I'm feeling very existential with this pandemic. Yeah.
That is perfectly acceptable. You should be anxious and existential and all of those things right now, to be perfectly frank. But you know what? The last time you appeared on this podcast, you got a new job like 2 days later. So I'm sure your new move will go swimmingly.
You always catch me at the right time. It's pretty great.
That's right. Jordan Rodrigue, always a pleasure. Reader at The Athletic. On the Rams now. He should be the Panthers. Follow on Twitter, Jordan Rodrigue. And hopefully we will be able to hang out and get a beer soon.
That'd be great. Well, thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.